Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, two-man car, Jess Romero, Paul Clay, Monday morning. By the way, we just started the month of February, and as Catholics, this is one of the beautiful things about our faith. Every single month, the Catholic Church has like a different emphasis. On January, the Catholic Church asks us around the world to focus on the holy name of Jesus throughout the month. The month of February, the Catholic Church asks us to focus on the precious blood, the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ throughout the month. And so make time every single day, especially the month of February. Here's my challenge to you. The month of February, here's what I started this morning. The only mystery of the rosary I'm going to do in February in honor of the passion of our Lord and his shed blood for us is the sorrowful mysteries of the rosary. So do that for the next 30 days, every day, and just focus on the passion of Jesus Christ and the power that's derived from that incredible event. And you could also say, you know what, I'm going to go and sneak out to the church sometime this month and do a Stations of the Cross inside the church. Or you could even do it at your house, you know, in the quiet room somewhere. Just go on your phone and just go turn on the Stations of the Cross and just walk through a mental imagery as you're praying the passion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul, well, we're ready to rock and roll, Paul.
Yes, 10-8 and ready to go. Looking forward to today's subjects.
Yeah, there are a lot of things we want to talk about today, but I want to get rid of some of the political stuff that jumped out at me over the weekend. One of the things that I think is it's good news. There's an article that says one voter fraud victory in court has Donald Trump grinning from ear to ear. And so essentially what happened is we as people of faith and people who are patriotic, we know what happened with the elections. And essentially there's many lawsuits that have been filed. And the article reads here, on Monday, Virginia Circuit Court Judge William Eldridge permanently blocked this dangerous precedent, ruling that accepting mail-in ballots after election day with no postmark violated state law. And the Public Interest Legal Foundation president and general counsel, Christian Adams, boasted that the decision was a major victory in the fight to restore confidence in America's elections. Christian Adams, this attorney, said, "This is a big win for the rule of law." What say you, Paul?
Yeah, listen, we've been saying this all along, Jess. The issue has never been, you know, you hear from the left, oh, you know, there's no voter fraud. It's been shot down in the courts. No, it hasn't. These cases have been denied purely for procedural issues. And no court has actually looked at the evidence. And anybody can see, Jess, that, listen, the state Constitution, along with the U.S. Constitutions, all, you know, give the power to the Constitution that basically says that, that the states can make the rules concerning the election. And the state constitutions of those states all say that the ballots are supposed to be in by 8 o'clock on election night. You know, there is a day that's set aside for election, and that was November 3rd. And that was it.
And you know what? It's funny, Paul, when we all went to bed and all these six disputed states, when we all went to bed like at 10 o'clock at night, Donald Trump was winning in all the six states.
Yeah.
And we woke up the next morning at 6 or 7, and then all of a sudden we say, whoa, Joe Biden got in this state, 70,000 votes overnight. This state got 80,000 votes overnight. This one got 70. And it's funny, some of these states that had major dumps of votes overnight when everybody went to sleep, apparently they, these mail-in votes came in and they're counting them. How often do you think that would happen, that you bring a bunch of bags in of votes, every single vote is for Joe Biden and not one for Donald Trump from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning when everybody's asleep?
Jess, that's our police mind right there talking. You know, we're good at putting two and two together and coming out with four. But let me just say this. We're not going to go down the road of Satan and accuse the Democrats of anything. You know, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. So we're definitely not going to follow him in that. But all we're doing is saying, hey, let's verify. You know, if you want me to trust the results, I mean, we see that there were some irregularities. Everybody agrees to that. So let's verify. And if after the verification, it comes out that Joe Biden is the winner, hey, we'll accept that. But these people will resist tooth and nail just to verify. And that automatically, for me, as a former police officer, such as yourself, Jess, it raises suspicion. You know, usually people who have something to hide resist the investigation. It's like going up to a suspect and say, hey, you mind if I search your car? Well, hey, you don't have anything in it. He's going to say, no, go right ahead. How many times does that happen, right? But if you know the guy's probably got something, he's going to be like, no, no, no. And, you know, so you'll find another way to be able to get in there legally.
That's right. Paul, I want to move on also to somebody else that I admire. Because politics is a dirty sport. I mean, it's full contact Catholicism. I mean, these guys, it's a school of gladiators, really. Rand Paul, he stood up in front of the Senate floor, and right now they're talking about, we've got to impeach Donald Trump because he caused this January 6th insurrection and this in the Capitol building, which he didn't. But that's Rand Paul, he told this inconvenient truth about, well, if you guys want to go down this, you know, if you guys want to go down this lane, then we can talk about impeachment to bring down Kamala Harris as well. And he said that because Rand Paul, in this fiery speech that he delivered, he basically forced a vote in the Senate on whether it was even constitutional to hold an impeachment trial for a former president. But some of the points that Rand Paul was making is he's saying, look it, to say that Donald Trump caused these riots is ridiculous. He says this is absurd. He says, if you look at Trump's actual words that Rand Paul quoted, he called for peaceful and a patriotic. Peaceful and patriotic protest.
Yes.
But Rand Paul said, hey, if you guys want to go down this road, we have, Democrats on video that have cheered Black Lives Matter and Antifa insurrectionists.
Yeah.
One of them being Vice President Kamala Harris. In fact, she even raised money to pay the bail for terrorists arrested in the Minneapolis riots.
Oh, and, my goodness.
Yeah. And then Senator Kamala Harris, she also offered to pay the bill for all those who were arrested. And again, she basically said, this is not going to stop. This is not going to stop. And you can see that she was, without a doubt, shilling for them. And she was she had no problem with what they were doing. And so Rand Paul is saying, hey, if it's good for the geese, it's good for the gander, maybe we could start impeachment proceedings on Kamala Harris. What do you say?
Yeah, well, you know as well as I know, Jess, that it seems like the people on the left, they always have a double standard. It's easy for them to point the finger and accuse us of everything, or people that are on the right, And with little to no evidence, as we saw in the impeachment sham trial of President Donald Trump, right? They had no evidence, but I think they go by this idea that is, if they say it hard enough and long enough, eventually the people will just believe it. You know, you got the news media in concert, all, you know, marching to the same beat. You know, President Trump deserves to be impeached. And when you look at everything that he said, and we're going to see this if this trial goes forward, show us the evidence. You know, I'm from Missouri. Show me where President. And by the way, you can't impeach somebody who's not in office. And that's the point that Rand Paul made.
He's a civilian.
Yeah.
He's not the president of the United States. He's a civilian.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, gosh.
Why don't they just impeach me? And, you know, if the idea is to, you know, they don't ever want me to hold public office, they can impeach Paul Clay, right? You know, the impeachment of private citizens is ridiculous. And I think people know it. But just this shows you how deep and wide the swamp is in Washington, D.C. And you know what? This is a good opportunity for us to see who the people in the Republican Party who are swamp creatures are, because you're going to know right away. If they're calling for the impeachment of President Trump, we all know we can call BS BS.
Yeah. Well, Liz Cheney, without a doubt, is one of the swamp creatures, and we got to make sure that we take out all these rhinos in the next 2 years, because again, this country's built on three principles, and it's right in your 25-cent coin: in God we trust. Check that off. Number two, liberty. Check that off. Mm-hmm. And number three, e pluribus unum, from many one. Those are basically the words of Christ. That's what America's built on. And unfortunately, the left, it's a God-hating party at this point. And all you have to just see is just their attack on marriage and the attack on the sanctity of human life. That's an attack on the image and likeness of God. You're listening to Jesus 911, Jess Romero, Paul Clay. We'll be talking about next... modernism infiltrates the Laudate app. What's that all about?
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ Jesus with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. That's a verse that we should be saying over and over again throughout the day. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. Notice it says it doesn't say we're blessed with every spiritual blessing on planet Earth. Get that out of your mind and stuff. Planet Earth is not heaven. This is boot camp. This is the academy. Right. This is gladiator school, Paul. Planet Earth is gladiator school to make saints. That's what it's for. And and you know what jumped out at me today at Mass and the first reading in the book of Hebrews, where it talks about, it says, and Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah of David and Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms. What?
Amen.
Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms. There is the kingdom of darkness is here on earth. And by faith, our Catholic faith rooted in Christ, we will overcome, Paul.
Yes. Listen, and that's what we have to always remember. We wrestle not, Jess, against flesh and blood, right? So our instruments of war are, you know, the tools that God has given us by our faith. And it is through that faith that we will subdue this world. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Right, Jess?
Amen. And seek my face. Yep, you got it.
Yes.
Paul, I was a little scandaled this week. A friend of mine named Fred Cross, he sent me a snapshot of the daily Bible verse from Laudate. Now, I got the Laudate app on my iPhone, and I read it pretty much every day, and it's got really good stuff there. But apparently, I mean, I must have not read it on that day, on January 27, 2021. On that day, on the Laudate app, there's a little link. It says Daily Bible Verse. And they'll have a beautiful verse. They'll give a good Catholic explanation. But on that day, I was very sad to see what LaDaute put there. And let me read what it says. It's on the January 27th, 2021, the Daily Bible Verse. It's on the LaDaute app. Most of us Catholics have it because it's a good app by and large. It's, now, to be fair to them, they hire a group of Catholics. They're called SeekFirstCommunity.com. I'm assuming they're Catholics. SeekFirstCommunity.com. They write the little commentary for the Daily Bible Verse. But here's what they wrote. They wrote, Christian women is society's greatest investment. That's a good statement. Convinced of this truth, St. Angela Merici founded the company of St. Ursula, the Ursulines, a secular institute devoted to educating young women to be Christian wives, mothers, teachers, and catechists. Consider the fruits of St. Angela's labor. Margaret Thatcher? Well, she's not Catholic. Why is she there? Angela Merkel? She's not Catholic. Why is she there? Indira Gandhi? I know she's not Catholic. Teresa of Calcutta? I'm sure they meant St. Teresa of Calcutta. She's obviously a Catholic. Kamala Harris? She's kind of a fallen away Baptist, but she's not Catholic, definitely. And St. Teresa of Avila and so many more. It all began with the powerful yes of Mary. All generations shall call me blessed. Paul, I have a problem with this entry. To me, this is an infiltration of a good Catholic app. And this is modernism at its finest. This is liberalism. And
yes.
Also, this is also a false ecumenism.
Yes.
Ecumenism must be based on the truth of Jesus Christ and his word and his doctrines. Ecumenism can't be based on, oh, well, you know, we're women, you know, we have the same body parts, or we believe in social justice, so that makes this ecumenical. No, it doesn't. You got comments on this?
Yeah, listen, Jess, you said it right. Number one, this idea of a false ecumenism, we have to remember, we're trying to build up the body of Christ, which is the family of God. We're not trying to build the brotherhood of man, okay? And we have to understand that without conversion, you cannot have ecumenism, okay? People need to come to Christ. And if anybody tells you that you can stay in a false ideology and, you know, you don't have to convert over to the Catholic faith, guess what? You better run from them because they're not speaking the truth. Okay, they're what they're doing is they're giving you I don't know what they're giving you. They're giving you the wisdom of man, and you're speaking out against the clear words of Jesus Christ himself.
That's right. And Paul, and I'll tell you why I have a problem with Kamala Harris being put. Her name is next to St. Teresa of Avila, St. Angela Merici, the Blessed Virgin Mary. I'll tell you why I have a problem with that, because, again, if you just look at her voting record, which I've already done time and time again, she's one of the most pro-abortion. I mean, she's got an 100% rating from NAREL, the National Association for the Repeal of Abortion Laws. She, as an attorney general, she went after good Catholics, pro-life journalists who did an undercover investigation and proved that Planned Parenthood was selling aborted baby body parts. Kamala Harris, as the attorney general, went after these young Catholics. And in 2018, Senator Harris, as she was grilling Brian Boucher, who was being asked to serve as a district judge in Nebraska, and she was attacking this guy, Brian Boucher, on the stand, insinuating that his involvement with the Knights of Columbus, this Catholic service organization, it disqualifies him from serving on the bench because they're pro-life. And so in my take, and not only that, Paul, she's no St. Teresa of Avila. She's no St. Mother Teresa. She's no Blessed Virgin Mary. To me, to put her on the same paragraph with them, in my take, is blasphemous. It's scandalous. And it's outrageous because,
Yeah, Jess, I just wanted to comment on there. You know how they tied that all in with it all began with the powerful yes from Mary. All generations shall call me blessed, as almost like they're trying to invoke the Blessed Mother as some type of feminist, that, you know, she's in charge of these, you know, these women power players. It doesn't matter, by the way, their ideology, as long as they're successful in the world and, high up in government. Mary started it with her yes. You know, it's like, give me a break, Jess. This is just, it just goes to show you why you really need to vet the people that you let post, in this case on the app. That is complete nonsense to put Kamala Harris in between St. Teresa of Calcutta and St. Teresa of Avila. You know, it's just ridiculous.
Paul, and I'll tell you, I mean, not to get very personal, but I'm just saying it because this is out in the open. This is out in public. There's pictures of her with Willie Brown. Kamala Harris rose the political ladder by violating the Sixth and Ninth Commandments. She's no Catholic saint. She's not even Catholic. She's a kind of a lukewarm Baptist. Her mother is Hindu. Her father was Baptist, or vice versa. Her husband is Jew. And so there's no Catholicism in the family. Why would they put her next to a bunch of female Catholic saints? When I read that post, Paul, because when Fred Cross showed it to me, I went on my app, the Laudate, and then I scrolled down to Wednesday, the 27th of January, 2021, so I could read it myself. And yeah, exactly what it said. Her name was on there next to these august Catholic women saints. All I could say was I slapped my forehead and I said, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?"
This
is an example of Paul, low information Catholics. This is why it's a very important to ground yourself in the God's Word and in the teaching of the Catholic Church. In my opinion, I told Laudate, I said, "You guys write good stuff. I mean, I've had you guys for years on my phone, but on this one, you guys went off the rails." What's your take?
Jess, as you know, I was a revert. We talk about that a lot, you know, how I was not formed properly in my faith. And I left the church for many years. And during that time, I was in Protestantism. I studied, the different branches of Protestantism, one being Pentecostalism. And the one thing that we noticed about the Pentecostals is they tend to be very low on doctrine and high on emotion. And I think that we can learn a lesson here that, if you're not solid on your doctrine, and, you could be, waving your hands and doing backflips for Jesus. But if that causes you to compromise the fullness of the faith or the meat and potatoes of the gospel, it's going to bring about sinful behavior. It's going to bring about bad morals. And that's how it happens. You get in the door with bad doctrine, and that bad doctrine quickly manifests itself in the lives of the believers because they start believing lies.
Paul, I've been told by several people, they go, "Jess, you know what? When somebody's holding theological error, you shouldn't mention their name, Joe. Jess, that's not nice. You just mention that somebody's teaching, but don't mention their name." Well, Paul, the fact is, you have to mention their name based on New Testament theology, because you've got to alert other people, other sheep, especially the children, that there's a person teaching error within the church, within the group. And St. Paul did the same thing to Timothy. Bishop Apostle Paul told Bishop Timothy about these two guys that were teaching error, and they were followers of Christ. In 1 Timothy 1:19, he says, "Holding faith and a good conscience, certain persons have made shipwreck of their faith." So they were believers. Yes. Once among them, Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. Close quote. That's why I outed these guys. I seek first community, because what they've done, Paul, they've made shipwreck of a lot of people's faith by comparing Kamala Harris to three Catholic saints, one being the Blessed Mother.
Yeah. You know, Jess, I like the way you emphasized the Apostle Paul to Bishop Timothy. You know, there's a proper order in which we must do things in the church. And if you're going to call them out by name, let it be a bishop and an apostle.
That's right. Jesus 911, talking about how to get to heaven next, how to get saved.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Psalm 106, save us, O Lord, our God, and gather us from the nations to give thanks to your holy name and make it our glory to praise you forever. Paul, I just want to just end up with one last thing about the Laudate. I mean, anybody who's got the app should write to them. Write them a nice email or go on to their chat and just let them know. Say, hey, we don't think it's a good idea to put on pro-abortion feminist political figures that promote the culture of death next to the Blessed Virgin Mary's name. They need to hear from us because I can only imagine the people that did this, either they did this by design or they're low information Catholics. A or B, it's a problem if they're again trying to shill for the culture of death on a Catholic app, or if they're low information Catholics, they just need to be called out on it as well. And and Paul, I'll tell you, I did read that again. We're mandated to pray for the conversion of our elected officials. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verses 1 and 2, which I do every morning. Pray for the conversion of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, that they may come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and their hearts be changed. So I lift them up in prayer every morning as well. But again, my problem is that she's not Catholic. She shouldn't be put on a Catholic app. She's marginally Baptist, and she's even a poor example of a Baptist, because most Baptists that I know are very conservative. It's kind of more the conservative branch within Protestantism. And they're generally pro-life. I mean, I haven't met one that...
Yes. Listen, she's by her vote as being, and she's been picked as the most liberal person in Congress by her voting record. That puts her on the side of the culture of death and not the culture of life. And that basically puts her on the side of the enemy, sad to say. But the Bible says, for what fellowship hath darkness to do with the light? They have none. So she does not belong on that app. I don't care how popular she is in the world, or if the person who wrote that may have voted for her or not. I'm just going to say that person, I'll have to beg God's forgiveness for that person, because, even though that person might be, like Joe Biden says, I'm personally against abortion, but if his public policies and what he promotes, is responsible for the death of millions, literally millions of babies out there in the United States, then guess what? The blood is on his hands.
That's right. And the blood's been on his hand for 47 years, because that's how long it's been. Oh, 48 years now.
Yes.
Paul, I want to make it quite clear to everybody that as Catholics, just so they know, so there's no mincing words, as Catholics, we believe that our only Savior and the only way to get to heaven is through the person, the name, and the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is official Catholic teaching. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 22, here's what the Bible says in reference to the Lord being our only Savior. And when I say that, he's not the preferred way. I remember there's this one bishop in an interview with a conservative podcaster. He was asked, hey, I'm a Jew. Can I get to heaven? I keep kosher and stuff. And this one bishop said, Jesus is the preferred way. No, he's not the preferred way. He's the only way. And so, again, political correctness, Paul, has no room in when it comes to salvation of a soul.
Right.
What say you?
Well, what I say is obedience to the commandments of God, not the 10 suggestions of God, but the commandments of God is what shows Jesus that we love him, right? Obedience is a byproduct of love. And he says, if you love me, obey me. And so that's what I say to that, Jess. And it goes to the, it speaks to the same thing you're talking about.
Paul, the official church's teaching once again is reiterated in the Catechism, paragraph 2666. It says this, but the one name that contains everything is the one that the Son of God received in his incarnation, Jesus. The divine name may not be spoken by human lips, but by assuming our humanity, the Word of God hands it over to us, and we can invoke it. Jesus, YHWH, saves. That's what the word Jesus means. Yahweh saves. The name Jesus contains all, God and man, and the whole economy of creation and salvation. To pray Jesus is to invoke him and to call him within us. His name is the only one that contains the presence it signifies. Jesus is the risen one, and whoever invokes the name of Jesus is welcoming the Son of God who loved him and gave himself up for him. Paul, what does the Catechism say? Yeah.
There's no name under heaven and earth that men must be saved except Christ Jesus the righteous.
Amen.
Plain and simple. The Catechism, 444, Jesus calls himself the only Son of God, and by this title affirms his eternal pre-existence.
In other
Vatican
words, go ahead. Yeah.
Go ahead, Jess.
No, yeah, Vatican II decree. I was going to say, he had no beginning. In other words, if people are, you know, some of the cults say, well, he had a point in time when he you know, was born. No. We're talking about the incarnation. But Jesus has this, the Word as the second person of the Trinity never had a moment where he wasn't here on earth. He always existed with the first person and the third person of the Blessed Trinity.
That's right. We're human beings because at one point we were not. But God is not a being in that sense. God, he didn't come into being. He always was. And that includes God the Son, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he is being itself. What does Vatican II say, Paul, about our Lord Jesus Christ? You're about to
read. On the missionary activity of the church, no one is freed from sin by himself or by his own efforts. No one is raised above himself or completely delivered from his own weakness, solitude or slavery. All have need for Christ, who is the model, master, liberator, savior, and giver of life. Amen. Christ is all in all. Yes.
Amen. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, St. Luke writes in the book of Acts. He wrote Luke Acts. He says, and there is salvation. And by the way, he's quoting St. Peter here. Luke is quoting St. Peter. He says, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And let me just define salvation very crudely. Okay. We're saved from hell for heaven. So we're saved from, and we're being saved for. Saved from hell and saved for heaven. And that's all accomplished by the person and work of Jesus Christ alone.
Yes, as you mentioned, last week, Jess, salvation is past, present, and future tense. Yeah. And so we're also being saved right now from the power of sin. Yeah. As long as we abide in Christ, as long as we walk in a state of grace, the Holy Spirit empowers us to live holy lives, to present these lives as living in holy sacrifices, acceptable unto God. And that's good Catholic teaching right there, Jess. We can be acceptable to God. How? On our own? No. By the grace of God, by the power of his Holy Spirit, as long as we have been, as long as we're connected to Christ, with Christ as our head and we are in his body. I love it.
Amen. Paragraph 432 of the Catechism, it says, the name Jesus signifies that the very name of God is present in the person of his Son, made man for the universal and definitive redemption from sins. It is the divine name that alone brings salvation, and henceforth all can invoke his name. For Jesus united himself 12 men through his incarnation. That means he became of man. So that there is no other name under heaven given amongst men by which we must be saved. The name Jesus means God saves. The child born of the Virgin Mary is called Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. There is no name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. And the Catechism says in paragraph 1507, the risen Lord renews his mission. He says, in my name, they will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. Mark 16:17. And confirms it through the signs that the church performs by invoking his name. Acts 9:34, Acts 14:3. These signs demonstrate in a special way that Jesus is truly God who saves. Matthew 1:21, Acts 4:12. Paul?
Amen. Listen, I just wanted to take a note here, make a note, Jess, and say that a lot of times I bring up you know, our separated brethren, Protestant Christians. But let me just emphasize, people like Jess and myself and Terry and many others, we're combating, there's a liberalism, bad doctrine, and it exists in the Catholic Church across the board, as it does, you know, in many of the Protestant circles. So this is something that no matter which church you find yourself in, whether it be a Catholic church or a Protestant, you have to stand for the truth. You have to be a conservative. That is first and foremost. You have to obey the Lord. And, you know, we have our own battles that we're fighting on this side of the aisle, so to speak, in the Catholic Church. Right, Jess?
Absolutely. And and Paul, it's modernism / liberalism. That's the weapon. That's the weapon that the devil uses against us. What he tries to do is he tries to get us to say, you know what? This is what the scripture says to me. I don't care what the church says. I don't care what 2,000 years of Catholic thought says about John chapter 6, you know, verse 53 to 56. This is what it tells me right here and now. That's modernism. And modernism is also looking at scripture and trying to give natural explanations to supernatural events.
Yes. Well, let me give you an idea of how liberalism works. And we talked about this on another episode, Jess, where, listen, liberalism affects the church in the area of divorce, right? We in the Catholic Church hold a high view of marriage, but in the Protestant Church, not so high.
Not so much.
Yeah.
Jesus 911, two-man car, Jess Romero, Paul Clay. We're talking about how to get to heaven. Stick around.
Pick this up after the break.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911. Whoa, I got feedback. Okay. Paul, you just got a text right now. You just shared with me. Somebody just texted you what?
Jess, okay. Hold on. Listen, I just got a text and he was talking about how crazy it was. He says it was snowing like crazy in New Jersey. And he says, and what's even crazier is Black Lives Matter has just been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize. Yes.
Unbelievable. What is going on with this world?
Yeah. Paul, what universe are they living in, Jess?
Paul, well, you're a Black Catholic. What do you think about, you know, BLM? Quick synopsis.
Listen, I think they are the antithesis of anything peaceful. And by their own words, you know, they want to tear it down so that they can build it up again and build it according to Marxism, plain and simple. Listen, what twisted world we live in. It just goes to show you that the wisdom of the world is just completely insane and ridiculous and hostile toward the word of God, Jess.
It's all very clear to me, Paul. When I read 1 John 3:10, the Bible says there are two teams, children of Satan and children of God. And we see it right now very clearly. I think the dividing lines are as clear as they can be right now.
Yes. And I'll tell you, if you don't see the lines, so clearly, it might be time to get on your knees and ask God for some spiritual discernment, because there are a lot of people out there, Jess, who, when they listen to people like you and me, we're speaking a different language. They don't have the ability to understand, but I'll remind them, the scripture says that the natural man does not receive the things of God, nor can he. He does not have the ability to, Jess. He's unable to receive the things of God. There's a huge difference. I used to tell a story when my kids would say, Daddy, can I go outside? I would say, you can go outside. You have two legs. You have desire. You have, energy. But you may not. telling them the difference between having the ability to do something. And the scripture clearly says that natural men do not have the ability to receive the things of God. They need a miracle, Jess. They need the miracle of baptism. They need to be grafted into the body of Christ.
They need to be catechized. They need to be instructed like St. Philip instructed the Ethiopian eunuch.
Yes.
That's called catechesis. You got to just walk
Amen.
With somebody and explain to them. Paul,
Amen.
going back to salvation by Christ alone, our only Savior, in Acts 15, verses 10 to 11, the scripture says, "Now, therefore, why do you make trial of God by putting a yoke upon the neck of the disciples?" This is St. Paul speaking here, "which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear. But we believe that we shall be saved," future tense, notice future tense salvation, "we shall be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, just as they will." So Paul is letting people know, his Jewish audience, that Jew and Gentile go through the same door through to heaven. It's through the door called Jesus. Nobody, Jew or Gentile, is going to get to heaven apart from that door that says Jesus, because Jesus says, "I am the door." He is
Amen.
Our only Savior. He is our only Savior.
Amen. Jesus is the door, no doubt about it. And I would raise a question, Jess. Why else would Paul say, "I wish myself were cut off from Christ for the sake of my brethren," if it could mean that they would be saved? If I don't have to convert and put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then why did Paul say, "I wish that I would basically be cut off in their place," if it could mean that they could have salvation in Christ?
Because he desired their salvation so bad. He's almost saying I'll lose my salvation so that all Israel may be saved. I'm almost willing to do that. That's a high calling.
It is a high calling. It's like no greater love is this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, right? And Paul
Absolutely.
Was willing to lay down his eternal life. This is how bad he wanted them to embrace Christ.
Yes.
That's on a different level.
Oh, I can't even wrap my arms around, my mind around that, Paul. That's a love for your people that I don't possess, I'll be honest with you. Paul, what does the Catechism say about Christ in regards to this issue of salvation? And I think it's 578 there.
Yeah, paragraph 578. "Jesus, Israel's Messiah, and therefore the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, was to fulfill the law by keeping it in its all-embracing detail, according to his own words, down to the least of these commandments." Matthew 5:19. "He is, in fact, the only one who could keep it perfectly." And that's based on John 8:46. "On their own admission, the Jews were never able to observe the law in its entirety without violating the least of its precepts. This is why every year on the Day of Atonement, the children of Israel ask God's forgiveness for their transgressions of the law. The law indeed makes up one inseparable whole. And St. James recalls, "Whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of it all." Wow. This is what we believe. I just quoted the Catechism of the Catholic Church, Jess. Any Protestant that accuses the Catholic Church of not understanding the grace of God that is in Christ Jesus needs to read the Catechism.
That's right. And Paul, it's the Day of Atonement is still practiced by the Protestants today. They don't have a temple, They still practice it in their synagogues to this very day. And once again, my heart breaks because I do know a lot of good Jews, and there's a lot of good Jews that I do respect. Michael Medved, Dennis Prager, Ben Shapiro. I wish I had a relationship with them, because in their practices of the Jewish precepts, it's all found in Jesus Christ. Everything that they're looking for is all found in the person of Christ. And I hope and pray that all of them, one by one, all these Jews of goodwill, because there's Jews that are not of goodwill. Okay.
Yes.
You know, like some of the, you know, Epstein and, too many to count. A lot of Hollywood producers are not of goodwill. But some of the ones that I mentioned, I hope and pray that they do find the Messiah, Jesus Christ, because he loves them and died for them as well.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I think that we have a lot to be thankful for our, for the Jewish people. They brought us Jesus. They brought us the law of God. We're indebted to them. Mm-hmm. And this is why I think Satan works overtime on the Jewish people, Jess. Number one, when they're bad, they're really bad, but when they're good, they're a source of good in the world, and they just need to take that step. And, we have, there's different groups out there. I know Protestants, they have Jews for Jesus, right? They call it the completed Judaism or Messianic Jews that embrace Jesus. And listen, I invite all of you to look hard in the Old Testament, and you will find Jesus. For he said, the volume of the books is written of me. You search the scriptures in thinking that in them you will find life, and it is them that testify of me. I invite you, to the Jewish people, search the scriptures like the Bereans did, and you'll be surprised what you might find.
Yep, amen. You'll find your Messiah, their Messiah and our Messiah, and the only Savior of the human race. Paul, salvation is also, we were talking about, you mentioned it earlier in the show, that it's a past, present, and future event according to New Testament theology. One verse that jumps out at me is Titus 3, verses 4 to 7. It says, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, now that's past tense, not because of deeds done by us in righteousness, but in virtue of his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit. That phrase right there is a reference to the sacrament of baptism. It says, he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that we might be justified by his grace and become heirs in the hope of eternal life. So the exegesis on this verse, according to Catholics for 2,000 years before Calvin, everybody exegeted this verse is God saved us, past tense, through the merciful sacrament of baptism. That's where we received the grace of justification and we became children of God. The first person to break rank with that interpretation was John Calvin.
John Calvin. Listen, and by the way, you want to talk about liberalism, Jess, and modernism? Well, that's what, I hate to say it, but that's what our separated brethren, that was the crack, so to speak, that the devil used. The first strategy he had was to divide and then conquer, right? And that division came about. And as you notice that, back to what I was talking about before the last break, I just wanted to touch on the high view of marriage that we have in the Catholic Church, that, it's to the level of a sacrament, that God's grace is basically infused to us through marriage, and I am yours, you are mine to your spouse. I remember as a Protestant, standing there getting marriage counseling, and I remember clearly the pastor saying, he recommended to my wife, he says, here's a number for a good attorney. And I'm not kidding you. That's exactly what he said. And if you really want to laugh, it was after she told them that I was, speaking to you about the Catholic Church. And he basically told me to stand down. And I said, I can't do that because I have questions that I need answered. And right after that, he says, you know what? Here's a number for a good attorney. It's the truth.
Lord have mercy. You've been listening to Jesus 911, two retired cops that love the Lord, love the Catholic faith, and we want to get as many people to heaven as we can in the midst of this Marxist, neo-communist revolution that we find ourselves in. And we'll keep hitting it hard, Paul, every Monday. I know your forte and my forte is God's Word, and we want to keep on looking at all those New Testament passages that talk about salvation and the Lord Jesus Christ and how it relates to us. Comments, Paul? Any comments?
Yeah, listen, I just want to encourage everybody, meditate on God's Word day and night, and that will keep you straight.
Amen. America, wake up to Jesus. Don't hit the snooze button. One day, we all got an exit interview with the Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure that before you die, you leave it all out in the field.
Yeah.
Up next, Gary Machuda, Hands-On Apologetics, coming to you from the Midwest Command Center. This is Jess Romero, Paul Clay. We're 10-7. Out!
Out of here.